Okay, today's parak is Yehoshua Parak Tezayin. Parak Tezayin, the 16th parak, as we continue in the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. First we had the Chalukah of Eber HaYarden, then we had the Chalukah of Kalev specifically, then we expanded to all of Shevet Yehuda. That was the last parak, Shevet Yehuda's borders, and this parak we start off with the next Shevet that's getting, and that is Ephraim. Formulated as first one of the Bnei Yosef, but specifically Ephraim in this parak, and Menashe will be in the following parak. Now this parak, we just list off the borders of Ephraim, who got fully and completely in Eretz Yisrael. Menashe, as we know, got half on the east side of the Yarden and half on the west side in Eretz Yisrael proper. So the Torah tells us, Vayetzi Hagoro Levnei Yosef, the border, the Goro went to the Bnei Yosef. Interesting that the Torah, the Navi tells us that it went to the Bnei Yosef when it really, we're talking about Ephraim here. A few psikim later, we have in Pazakei, Vayhi Gvul Bnei Ephraim Lemishpachosam. So what do you mean the Goro went to Bnei Yosef? So this is a general question that we have whenever the Shvatim are listed. It's always fascinating to ask and to figure out when are Ephraim and Menashe considered two Shvatim? When are they considered one Shevet? As we know, Yosef is one of the Shiftei Kah. That's originally, but Yaakov elevated Ephraim and Menashe to have the status of Shvatim. Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvim and Shimon Yuli, says the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. And on the Choshen, there are 12 stones, and Ephraim and Menashe are present. And, yeah, I'm sorry, they were united in that Levi was on the Choshen, so that's why Ephraim and Menashe were united and Yosef. Yet, in the Nachlas of Eretz Yisrael, they are separated. As we see in these Prakim, we have Ephraim getting first and Menashe getting second. So, are they one? Are they two? So, Chazdagra, Vilna Gaon, says on our Pasuk that even here, there is an interplay. The Goral from the Urim Batumim and the Urim Batumim, where they had the lottery, it was first Libnei Yosef. The lottery made it, says the Gra, Dimipinesha Yehuda ve'Ephraim heim Rashi Yeshvatim b'chol makom, b'im b'seid ha'dgon b'im b'mlachim v'chulu. He continues, let me just find the point that's important for us right now. He says, Lo huskar b'kra da'asu Goral livnei Ephraim b'fnei atzmo. U'mashma mizeh de'be'emes lo asu Goral b'fnei atzmo libnei Ephraim. There wasn't a specific portion given to Ephraim step one. There were two steps. The first Goro went to Bnei Yosef. Then it was split, maybe not even through the Goro, but it was split through to Ephraim and Menashe. So even in our parak, we have the interplay. Are they one Shevet? Are they two Shvatim? How they marched in the Midbar, they were separated. So again, one always has to ask the question, are they one? Are they two? They're made into Shvatim, but once in a while, they're also considered united, like we have on the Choshen. So that's what this parak has implicitly. So the Goro to the Bnei Yosef is Yarden Yericho, Ephraim and Menashe are both above. Yehuda, we said yesterday, was in the Negev. It was in the south part of Eretz Yisrael. And above them were Ephraim and Menashe. Vayin Chalu b'nei Yosef, Menashe ve'Ephraim. So Menashe and Ephraim are the next Nachlas, and the first one listed here is Ephraim. Why Ephraim? Well, first let's talk about the significance of the word Ephraim. Why is Ephraim called Ephraim? As we know, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Miketz that Yosef calls his two sons based on events. Vayikra Yosef Hashem HaBachar Menashe, Ki Nashani Elokim Etzkol Amali, Velko Etzkol Beit Avi. Hashem has helped me get over and forget all of my hard years. And Ve'etshem Hasheni Kara Ephraim, that's today. Beth Hashem, next time we'll talk about Menashe, but this time is Ephraim, and the interplay between them. Ki Hifrani Elokim Be'eretz Anyi, Hashem has helped me multiply Be'eretz Anyi. So that's why it's called Ephraim, Hifrani Elokim Be'eretz Anyi. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky notes in Parshas Vayechi that many of the words and the names in Egypt have a pei and an ayin. We have Potiphera, we have Paro, we have Ephraim, even Sfardeya he connects it to. So this was kind of an Egyptian type of name, but that's what the Torah tells us. But there is a Baalei HaTosfos, a commentary in the Baalei HaTosfos. Rav Kasher quotes this in a footnote in the Torah, Torah Shlema. There's another idea of Ephraim. Ephraim is double Afer, double ashes. Ephraim al shem Avos Avraham b'Yitzchak. Avram and Yitzchak both have Afer connected to them. How? Avram Avinu says when he's bargaining for stone, "Va'anochi afar va'Afer." I'm like dirt and ashes, as we've discussed in the past. The Beis Halevi on that comment, but Afer and Yitzchak is Kafer al Gavi Amazdeach. Yitzchak himself is like Ether. De Ephraim Mashma Shtei Afaros. That's why he says, V'lachin Nikar Yisrael Hashem Ephraim. That's why B'nai Yisrael themselves. How many Shvatim have their name associated with entire nation? Right, how many? So we're called B'nai Yehuda in general, but we're also called B'nai Ephraim, Havein Yakili Ephraim, right? The pasuk that we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening. So that's another idea why he is called Ephraim, the Beis Ephers of Avraham and of Yitzchak. Why is Ephraim and generally B'nai Yosef, why do they get their Nachla first? Right after Yehuda, we have Yehuda, and then we had Reuven. And then we have Yehuda and Ephraim. So, explains the Gra and explains other Mefarshim, because we know it's related to the fact that there are two Mashiachs we're davening for. We have, of course, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben Yehuda, or ben David, says the Gra. Yehuda and Ephraim heim Rashi Ashvatim b'chol makom. Yehuda and Ephraim are always the heads. Bein b'seder ad galim uvchein milachim rishonim. The first two kings, we know, were from there. V'chein la'asid. Lavo, Yehei Mashiach ben David, Umashiach ben Yosef, Hago'alim v'harashim, they're the two. V'lachein Nikru Yisrael, Yehuda v'Ephraim. V'lachein, B'chilek Eretz Yisrael, Natlu Gamheim Techila. That's why Ephraim and Yehuda get first, because they are connected to the two Mashiachs. There is a beautiful thought that is mentioned, many are familiar with it, from the B'nai Yisachar. B'nai Yisachar is quoted very often Chanukah time. Chanukah time. What does the B'nai Yisachar say? He's commenting at the end on the Haftorah, one of the most beautiful Haftorahs in the entire year, the Haftorah for Parshas Vayigash, which discusses, Sefer Yecheskel and Perek Lamed Zayin, discusses the future. Hashem tells Yecheskel, V'ata ben Adam, kach lecha eitz echad uksova lovli Yehuda, l'v'nei Yisrael chaveirav. Take one tree and write Yehuda on it, one branch, and take another branch, l'kach eitz echad uksova lovli Yosef, eitz Ephraim, v'kol b'Yisrael chaveirav. Take one stick and write Yehuda on it. Take another stick and write Ephraim on it. Ephraim. V'karav otam echad el echad l'cha le'etz echad. Put them together and make one stick. V'hayu la'achadim biyadech, and it'll be one for you. V'kasha yomre elech, and when people ask you, what's the meaning? What are you doing taking two sticks and putting them together? Says the Navi in Yechezkel, Hine ani lokech, it's eitz Yosef asher biyad Ephraim, v'shifti so v'chaveirav, I'm taking Yosef, I'm taking Yehuda, I'm putting them together, because this is the symbol of what's going to happen in the future, that all of Am Yisrael is going to come together. V'latzisi osam goy echad ba'aretz ba'arei Yisrael, u'melech echad yeh l'kulam, I'm going to bring Mashiach, v'avdi David melech aleihem, v'roa echad yeh l'kulam, there's going to be achdus, v'yashua la'aretz asher nasati shalom. There's going to be achdus. What's the message of this Haftorah? Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Those are the two Mashiachs, and that's connected to Parshas Vayigash, which is where Yehuda stands up and is connected with Yosef. So that is the Haftorah. But connected to that Haftorah, the B'nai Yisachar has an unbelievable thought that's quoted in his thoughts on Chanukah. Here it's in my edition, is Maimer Beis or Torah. He goes through why Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda to Mitzrayim right away before the other Shvatim. See, he connects, and he sends him to Goshen. So why does he send him to Goshen? So the B'nai Yisachar says that the Golos of Mitzrayim is the root and the basis for all future Golios. All the four future Golios, the Golos Bavel and Golos Madai Paras, /Paras, Golos Yavan and Golos Edom, those four, the root of it is Mitzrayim. All Golios are there. And Yaakov wanted to plant the roots of Geula already at the beginning of the Golos Rishona. And Yosef's already there. So he sends Yehuda. So the Mashiach ben Yosef and the Mashiach ben David are there already in Mitzrayim before everything starts. And then he goes through, based on a Maharal, that Goshna, the four letters, Gimel, Shin, Nun, He, is an allusion to the four Golios. We're not going to go through that now. But he says that is, Goshna is also, he says, works out, that is Gematria Mashiach. Says that's why he sent them dafka to Goshen, because this is where the Mashichiyot are going to be. Lahodot Ros Lefanav Goshna. That's, and the Rashi Tevas Gufani Sechli Nafshi Hakol. He goes through all of the Ramazim, but he says that's why Yehuda is sent first. And he says maybe, and this is getting back to what the Yechezkel, this is why we play with a wooden dreidel, because the four letters on the dreidel, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, are Goshna. Right, Nes Gadol Hayasham, it's the same four letters, because the dreidel symbolizes the two pieces of wood of the Mashiachs, of Yechezkel, coming together into one, having all of them on there, having Geula from all the Galios. It's an amazing piece, if you want to look it up. But why does it connect to us? Because the Vilna Gaon says, why is Ephraim getting first? Ephraim's getting first right after Yehuda gets, because those are the two Mashiachs. First, the groundwork, as the Svarim tell us, the groundwork is going to be laid by Mashiach ben Yosef, ultimately Mashiach ben David, and David HaMelech's house will come back and bring us the Geula. So that is the Haftarah for Vayigash, and that is why here in our Perek we have the borders of Ephraim given right after the borders of Yehuda, the first two Shvatim that get here in Eretz Yisrael. Good. Let's also talk a little bit, that we have time now, not just related to the borders, but the relationship between Ephraim and the one that always goes with him, Menashe. Menashe and Ephraim. Very famous question that we have right here. Vayinchalu b'nei Yosef Menashe v'Ephraim in Pasuk Dalet. Right? A very famous question is, why, out of all the brachos that we could give on Friday night, or whenever one has a minute to give, right, quoting Yaakov Avinu, Yisimcha Elokim, Ke'Ephraim v'chem Menashe, right, quoting from Parshas Vayechi. So why dafka do we pick Ephraim and Menashe to be the ones that we wish our children to be like? Why don't we say Yisimcha Elokim ki Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov? Right? What about the women? Right? Yisimcha Elokim ki Sarah Rivka Rachav Aleah. We say the Imahos. So why by the males we say ki Ephraim v'chem Menashe? Right? There's something special. They outweigh the. There's obviously a message here. I mean, the Avos are also great. But what's the message? There are two major answers, groups of answers, that almost every sefer, if he asks this question, gives one of these two answers. Rav Schwab in Mayan Beit HaShoeva says, he also asks another question along the way, that why did he switch his hands? Why didn't he switch the boys? Right, we know the famous event of switching of the hands, and Yosef says, Dad, what are you doing? He says, don't worry, I know what's happening. Ephraim's going to be great, Menashe's going to be great. Why didn't he switch the kids? Why did he switch the hands? So explains Rav Schwab, because both Ephraim and Menashe were going to be great in their own field. And that is, V'yesh lomer shekavanaso bazeh. He wanted to give the right to both of them. So he gave the right leg, the right of his body to Menashe, and he gave the right arm to Ephraim. Why? So he says, Hine, Yosef itzarfu tchunos isha ruach v'isha mas. In Yosef you have both. You have the leader of Ruchnius. Yosef was strong, and he had the leader in Gashmius, right? He kept the world going. It was both. But in his kids, it was split. Avo bebanov nischalku ha'inyanim. Sheikar tafkido shal Menashe. Menashe was very involved in politics. He was the Melitz, Chazal tell us. He was the one that interpreted. He was involved. He was the big macher in Mitzrayim. He was involved in Gashmius. He was a leader. He was a lay leader, so to speak. Menashe lios memuna al beis Yosef. Ephraim, he sat and learned Torah with Yaakov Avinu. That's what we know about Ephraim. He was in the world of Ruchnius. Ephraim had a lomi termi pi Yaakov Avinu. Vehiktim Yaakov is Ephraim leMenashe lahoros al adifus koach haTorah al shara milus. He gave him the arm lerabus milus hanogav amelucha. But you need both of them. You need leaders in the clergy, and you need leaders osi b'tzarchei tzibur b'emunah. Right? You need leaders throughout Klal Yisrael. Right? They have to be leaders in the base marriage, and leaders in the business world, and leaders in all the worlds. That's Menashe and that's Ephraim. And that's why the bracha that we give to our children is that you should be like these brothers, these leaders, because we need whatever you are. You should be successful and make a Kiddush Hashem in all of one's areas, right? And that's the bracha. L'darkenu yuvnu divrei chachamim she'inyan bracha she'yu beis atchunos b'haben hanolad k'mo sh'ayah b'Yosef atzmo. We, each of our children, we say you should have both kochos, like Yosef had both kochos. But again, it's about being the leader in both realms. That's one answer given. They each have their own kochos, and that's why Ephraim and Menashe, they always work together. Fine. But there's another answer given, and that is, if you think about it, Ephraim and Menashe were the first siblings that we have on record that didn't fight. Right? Throughout Sefer Bereishis, we have Cain and Hevel, and we have Yishmael and Yitzchak, and we have Yaakov and Esav, and we have the Shvatim. We have all of them. And finally, the first ones that don't fight, Ephraim and Menashe. That's the bracha we give to our kids. Right? You should get along with each other. Right? Get along with each other, get along with people. Yisimcha lokim ke'Ephraim v'chem Menashe. Right? That is the how much a parent, what a parent davens for so much, that his children don't fight with each other, and the children, right, even more than other things. parents just want their children to get along with each other. So see the Achronim is quoted in the Otras HaTorah, it's quoted in other places, right? We don't want sibling rivalry, and therefore we give that bracha to our children. There is another idea that is mentioned, also related to the Ephraim and Menashe discussion, and that is, Yaakov Avinu elevates them to the level of Shvatim. Wasn't Yaakov worried that he already showed favoritism to one of his sons earlier, and that didn't work out so well? That caused a lot of problems. And all of a sudden now he's taking two of his grandchildren and making them Shvatim and giving them Adifus over any of the other grandchildren that his other sons might have had? And it's Yosef again. Right, so what's Yaakov doing? Does he realize? So again, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Vayechi, and say others, says Rabbi Sarotskin in the Zion LaTorah. No, here Yaakov knew, and the Shvatim would understand this, that they needed the special bracha. And this is a third answer to our question before. Why do we dafka say Ephraim and Menashe? Ephraim and Menashe grew up in Galus. They grew up in Mitzrayim. They needed special hadracha. They needed special education. Right, the other Shvatim grew up in Canaan with Yaakov. These boys grew up by themselves under Yosef's tutelage in the middle of Egypt. Right, in the palace of Egypt, imagine what was going on around them, the Toeva. Mitzrayim is called Toavas Haaretz. And they needed, therefore, special teachings. And Yaakov Avinu Dafka was b'machazik them in that way. Right, be mechazik them. V'nirah sheYaakov ratzah lahadgish lahem shesher shemu makaram einu ba'aretz shenoldu ba ladafka be'aretz Yisrael. And Yaakov wanted to make sure that they realized that you got to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He emphasized to them that they needed special limud. The bnei Yosef hutzrichu lebracha miyuchedes mebnei shenoldu be'aretz Mitzrayim be'aretz tamei avol aro beisol shel Yaakov. And that's why he says, you know, you too have to be like my other shvatim. But that's another idea why we say Ephraim and Menashe, because we know throughout these centuries, throughout these decades and centuries, we're all living in Galus. Even if we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're living without a beis hamikdash. We're living without all the nisim that take place, and we need to hold strong in our beliefs, be a strong Jew, even though we have outside forces that are grabbing us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we say, Yisimcha Lekim Kevrayim V'chamanashe, just like they were strong in a hostile environment, so too, you, children, should be strong and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the hostile environment. So that's three answers given to why we give our kids Dafka the Rach of Kevrayim V'chamanashe. Number one, because each of them had their own kochos, yet they worked together. Number one, so everybody should succeed in their own kochos. Number two, they should have shalom, right? No inner fighting, no sibling rivalry. And number three, because they represent the Jew in Galus, just like Yaakov Avinu represents the Jew in Galus. Ephraim and Menashe represents the Jew in Galus, and that's why that's the bracha that we give our children. So the Navi now describes here in this little perek, B'nei Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim, and then Vayhi Gavul B'nei Ephraim, and it starts going through the Gvulos of Ephraim, which are just above the ones from Yehuda. We will see that according to certain versions, right, as a discussion in the Rishonim, Binyamin is in between. Starting from the south of Eretz Yisrael, you have Yehuda, and then above Yehuda, north of Yehuda, Binyamin, as we discussed, the border of Yehuda Binyamin went through Yerushalayim, and then above that, we have Ephraim and Menashe, either one on top of another or one next to each other. That makes it even more interesting of the order, as we emphasized. You would think if you're starting from the bottom, you know, starting from the south, go to Yehuda, and then go straight up, go to Binyamin, and then go to Ephraim, and then go to Menashe, and yet Binyamin is left out. He is done later, now we have Ephraim first. And again, it says at the end of the parak that the B'nai Ephraim did not drive out all of the people that live there. Almost every Shevet, just like we had at the end of the last parak, that the Yoshev Yerushalayim, they did not drive out. Here too, Vloho Rishu, Esa Kanani, HaYoshev HaGezer, they did not drive out the Kananim that lived in Gezer, VaYeshev HaKanani, Beger Ephraim, Ad Hayom Hazeh, VaYehi Lamas Oved. Right, they worked for them, they paid the taxes, but they still didn't drive them out. Keep in mind, well, just mention this, we only have one minute left, before we get to Menashe in the next parak, keep in mind that this whole Chalukah that we are discussing has halachic significance, not only because there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, Not only the Ramban writes in Parshas Maaseh, and the Ramban writes in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and there's a mystery in Halacha why the Rambam does not mention the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, being that he writes about the mitzvah in his Mishnah Torah. He bases Halachos based on the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael in terms of Amir La'akum on Shabbos and Shichra Avadim and paying a ksuba. He quotes Halachos based on that. So it seems, even though the Megillas Esther says the Rambam doesn't hold that it's a mitzvah bizman hazeh, Rov Achronim assumed that it is a mitzvah, but for some reason he doesn't count it as a mitzvah. But separate from the idea of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, which is obviously beferish, the idea of all of Am Yisrael being in their designated areas has other halachic significance. So just to give one other example, Yovel. When is Yovel applicable? We don't count Yovels anymore, bizman hazeh. So this is a machlokes. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim. Maybe we'll mention it next time. When exactly Yovel stopped? During Bayesheni? After Bayesheni? But either way, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Arachin, we don't have any Yovels anymore because Yovel requires Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael in their areas. In their areas. If they're not in their areas, so even if, as we know, the Jewish majority over the next couple of years, if it hasn't happened already, is going to be in Eretz Yisrael, more Jews in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere in the rest of Israel. Yeah. But even if that becomes a majority, Poskim say that we're not going to get Yovel back. And Shemitah might not even be Daraisa if Shemitah also connects to this. But at least Yovel only applies if they're in their, all in their areas. And that's what, why these prakim are so important, for us to realize. Again, the Navi, thinks that it is important enough to have all of these prakim listed here, so it's our job also to study them as carefully as we study the story parts of the Navi and learn the messages that we can learn. Okay, we'll stop here.